Welcome back to the podcast. Second one in 2 weeks. Third one. Third one in 3 weeks. What's going on? Unheard of in the history of the show. But look who's here. Hello, Rick.
Well, can't see him.
For those who are looking, who actually, this will be out on Twitter, so people will actually see that you're not here. It's a terrible show. He's already put his microphone on mute. Look,
Excuse me, I'm just finishing with dinner. It's very unprofessional. Someone, I said, give me a second. Well, let's hit record. Let's start. Okay.
It was starting to be a good chat. It was already starting to mug Mark off with his hair. So I thought we've got to catch us up, haven't we? He is looking a bit like, you know, like one of the adverts. Like,
it's the comb over. I'm growing it. My forehead's, as you've known, the last 3 years doing these podcasts, it gets bigger and bigger. So I should probably grow it down rather than across the bald patch.
This has got a new name now, and it's called doing the Bundy. You're just doing it on the top of your head rather than your face. it's a new trend.
Imagine being 30 years old and getting a beard implant.
I mean, it's... fair play. If it brings your confidence up and stuff, you know, it's... I can't knock it.
But you got yours from? You get yours from Turkey, don't you?
No, I might go there for my teeth. Have you seen them shark memes with the teeth, with the turkey teeth?
Oh, yeah, I've seen them, actually, yeah. I know a few people have gone turkeys, but... All right, hang on, stop. Yes, let's just... This is not a... We're not friends, all right? It's gone. So what's been happening, Rick? You got the one of all the stories. Surely me and Mark caught up earlier. So, last week. But
I spoke to you about the... obviously, I let Mark know a little bit of this earlier, but I did go into it. But as a company, we won our biggest installation, which was big. It was a £70,000 install, this one. So it really kick-started us for mid-year. Now I'm going through the pain and agony of actually getting all the bits together for it. In essence, this is it's not a massive install. They've got like 15 circuits going in. They're basically, this company's moving one factory into two factories. Mark actually knows the company because when I first started WFP, he does some work there for us, installing some chargers at one of their sites. But they've got the headache.
Still working.
That's why it's fixing, mate. I burnt the rest of the place down. It's 70 grand to sort it out.
There's nothing to do with the install, I think. The chargers are terrible. I mean, they're EV box. Have I got that right? Oh, God. Anyway, that's a whole different story.
No, sponsor for in there. Thanks, mate.
Mate, you're not a sponsor. My God. you can't get hold of anyone there. Allow a sponsorship deal. You can try and run a customer service. Anyway. So I'm now into UK Power Networks, and I've heard some funny things on this job. The idea was, originally, I wanted UK Power Networks to just stick a new heading. So leave everything existing as it is. We don't want to touch that. We just want to add additional power. UK Power Networks have said they absolutely will not install two power supplies into one building. Well, how many times have we seen that? Bearing in mind, it's a factory. Like, it's, you know, it's for the purpose of what the building is. We look after another building, a laundry in London, that's got five next to each other, separate heads all next to each other because of the size of the stuff they've got coming in. They've got no other choice. But
yeah,
you know,
we've got some of the large stations will have multiple suppliers. I mean, Victoria Station's got five separate suppliers, more than that, seven or eight, actually, I think.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And it's, but they just refuse it. And the reason... What was annoying is when I said about, you know, why are you refusing it, there was no real answer. One person said it was because the earthing arrangement, the potential difference, which I didn't really understand because it's just the same earthing arrangement in twice. But anyway, because of that, they said, we're going to stick one supply in. So I was like, okay, so I've done the provisional quote, finished it all up, fine. Done all the design on electrical OM. That is a bit of sponsorship. I'll chuck that in. They're non-paid, of course, but we love them. So, yeah, well, I've done all the design. The UK Power Networks came out. It took them 6 weeks to come out. And then they're sticking the supply on the other side of the building. So now I've got to resupply the old stuff. But with the caveat, obviously, we're not taking any responsibility apart from just powering it back up again. But what a ball ache, you know? So, yeah, and they've given us... They asked for 285 kVA. UK Power Networks done them a quote for 175. So now they've said, well, you've given us the quote, but we've checked it. It's not enough. That's not what we asked for. So now they've gone back to the bottom of the list to start again. Start the whole process. So now they're talking about our work starts Monday. So we've got to finish our installation, obviously, before they will UK Power Networks do anything anyway. But now they're talking about getting generator in to run the new stuff because they're obviously moving one factory to another factory. So all the machines are coming over. They've got to commission these machines. It's a German company, so they're getting people over from Germany, costing them a fortune to come and commission all the machines again. Might not have power there. So it's all the nightmares are starting, you know. So all the stuff we try and cover.
And this is the thing of Sparks, that you're normally last in. So you're always being pushed the most to finish, you know, and everyone else absorbs all the spare room in the program, and all of a sudden you've got no room to ask for a day extra. And it's like this, all of a sudden you'll start delaying things for whatever reason, could be a legitimate reason, and all of a sudden you've got someone breathing down your neck. Well, you know, it's that generator's costing you a fuel a week. You need to move your ass, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's absolutely, it's a lot of that stuff. But so on the positive, you know, it's the biggest job we've won. We've won a few big ones this year. We've done our biggest ever EICR this year. I'm literally just going through that certificate now, and that is like hell on earth.
Yeah, we're doing our biggest one this year as well.
Yeah, well, I bet your biggest one must be bigger than mine. How many circuits did you
do? Oh, I couldn't even tell you. Couldn't even tell you.
Mine was 470, which is probably a quarter of what you've done. But I think there was like 40 or 50 distribution boards, and it was a shopping center. Yeah, it's just going through. I think there was 250 observations we found. So just going through and
it's visual observations, sort of going around, seeing that, that sort of thing.
Pretty much, yes. It's virtually a visual. There was a couple of high IR readings, I think, but we didn't IR a lot of it because of connected loads anyway.
Do you put your EICRs through OM? Electrical OM?
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
The stuff that highlights is phenomenal, isn't it? It is phenomenal.
I do not use it at the level you use it at, for sure. Because I think the big problem is the engineers on the ground don't use it the way it should be used, 100%. You know, they miss things. But I was speaking to Spencer about it, to be fair, because this one, I don't know if your guys had this problem on the app where it started getting really slow, crashing.
I don't use the app personally, but I've had it does chuck you out occasionally. It's always done that, to be fair.
So what do you do in? So you use it for your EICRs. How do you do that? What do your team do on site? Do they just log straight into it?
So they do the EICRs on the app, and then they send me a link by email. I can import that link onto the desktop.
So that app that the engineers are using, that's what they started struggling with on this install. I think there was just so many pictures. And to be honest, you know, to be fair to Electrical OM, it's not what it's designed to do, is it? Really? No. This is a separate thing. So the great thing with them is every time I speak to them, things get added into it and changed. And
they're really open to that, aren't they?
I had a problem the other day when it weren't even a problem, really, but I wanted to pull, they've got a certificate registry on there. I don't know if you've ever used that. They can see all your certificates you've ever done on Electrical OM, but you couldn't export it for some reason. It's a bit of a silly thing that you couldn't do. 24 hours, the button's on there.
Yeah.
I wanted to export it to give someone else on the team to basically go onto our job software and mark up when every EICR is due going forward. So, you know, in 5 years, we can predict a stream of work, essentially, you know?
Yeah.
So it's been good in terms of, the biggest EICR, which is, just takes a long time on that certificate side.
Yeah, and you have got to allow a good amount of time for review and sort of muck about of it on the desktop. I take some of the big ones we do, it takes me a long time to go through it, but it's worth it because the things that OM highlights, like in terms of volt drop, selectivity, even so much as it'll even compare, and this is, it's not perfect, but that it'll even compare the calculated R1, R2 to your measured R1, R2 and highlight the percentage of how that's out. So if it's like, we're expecting this to be around here, but your tests are saying it's there, a 70% out or something like that. It's just phenomenal. And what I do is I add all them things that it highlights over and above what my guys have highlighted on site, I add to the EICR.
Yeah. I tell you what, I did find out the other day when I was doing the design for this big install. So we've got an upfront MCCB panel that's then supplying two three-phase DBs and then going off onto commando plugs mostly. But when you try to set out, obviously, your arrangement so all your curvature is correct, you know, your tripping curvature, you can actually just go on the MCCB and grab a little dot and just move it to the right and it will tell you exactly what setting. Mate, that was so, what is this? This is immense. Like, you do, all you got to do is make sure you order. You ain't even got to come over the part, because it tells you exactly what MCCB you're using in the software. So you just go up one of them.
Yeah. And I want one of them. Difference between being an electrician and an engineer, I think, this is where it differentiates. Is people often have that discussion today. What's the difference? Well, for me, it's when you go from installing something to calculating how to do that safely. Once you start using calculations in your decision making, I think that's the difference between being an electrician and an engineer.
I guess that leads on to an interesting question, actually. I've got two, but this one just came to the top of my head of which way is better. Is it better to come from our way? This is going to cause much debate between us, because we probably don't have many university degree holders coming in from the other side, if you know what I mean. You're an electrician, Mark, right? You started off as a spark and went through that route, or did you go through a university route and then become an electrician? Because if you went that way, you must be mad.
No, I didn't. I did the university aspect afterwards.
Well, okay, so fine. So that's kind of the point, you know. So is it better to become an electrician first, do your time, do that, and then get into the design stuff? Which is hard for us, to be fair. I find it quite difficult. You know, it's a lot to think about, because in our head is the installation point, which a designer would never see. You know, when the designer does their bit, they can't envision, right, okay, this is, you need to use this size tray. Oh yeah, but there's another bit of, I don't know, containment on that wall. We need to set around that. How are we gonna? They don't see all of that, which we probably oversee that stuff when we're doing the design. You know, it's the design part of it is quite, you know, it's quite straightforward. It's that I know when I'm doing the design, if I'm using that size cable, how am I going to terminate it? Whereas someone doing the design probably won't think about that. They'll just go, well, you need that size cable, but I can't terminate that into. So a typical example, I've got to stick 5 sockets in for a charging station for their battery chargers. But I think it was about a 70-meter run. So in terms of volt drop, I'm sure Electrical OM said I've got to use a 10-mil cable. Well, because of that, obviously I couldn't terminate that into a socket, so now I've got to go into a commander plug off the commander plug it. None of this matters, because UK Powderworks moved, as we know, and I can now install it really close to the board, so that was helpful. But a designer's not going to think about that stuff. They're not going to think you can't get 2 10 mil cables into a socket, so think differently. And that probably makes the design aspects a lot more thorough, but really difficult. Because
that's one of those, I don't turn to electrical OEM suckathon, but that's why I love it so much. It's because it doesn't do the job for you. It holds your hand and walks you through a design.
Yes, yeah.
So you've got to make decisions. You've got to be, and it will lead you to saying, "Well, this ain't quite correct," but it won't give you the answer about how to make that correct. You've got to sort of use your knowledge, understanding, and sometimes you need a bit of help from OEM as well. So like, why is this thrown out of four? I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You need them to go, well, that's because you've left that cable as a 1 mil. And I've done it again. I've done that 15 times this year. So that's maybe leave some random cable as a 1 mil and all of a sudden, why is my ZD so high?
isn't it always a little bit depressing? So whenever I call up, I always get Spencer. And he comes onto my computer, goes onto it, and pushes 2 buttons too quickly to know what I don't know what he's done. And I've missed it completely, but it's fixed. What I need to do is actually pay for the courses that they offer. And really learn it.
I had a course on that and the AutoCAD. I had two of mine, and it's worth its weight in gold, because I just love playing with it. I mean, I've even done, as I was saying last week, I've even done my house. I would design my house, like, it's only ass bashing, rewiring. I even chucked it all on OM, and just some of the surprises, like when you start putting, again, risk of repeating what I said last week, it's 4 mil current carrying capacity when run with insulation over 100 mils, 22 amps.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And you start putting stuff like that. And also the other thing that electrical OM really trips me up on is when you start, or it's not electrical OM, design and correction factors, it's when you start grouping factors, that really shafts your design massively. And who really, if we're honest, it's hardly ever thought about. I can't remember ever, apart from college, left college, How many times do we do a design, even without software? We go, oh, no, get me grouping factors, table out, and work out. It's, you just don't. Well, I'm not speaking for myself. It's not something I ever done. You get your rules of thumb: 32 amp, 4 mil, 2.5 radial, 16, 2.5 radial, 16 or 20. You know what I mean? You sort of have these rules of thumbs. And when I started chucking like just a domestic twin and earth through the software, okay, I can't even do 4 mil radials.
Yeah,
because I can only put them on a 20 amp breaker. Then what's the point?
Yeah, it's so many other stuff I learned. Like you never consider you do volt drop for each circuit, didn't you? You actually think volt drop 3%, 5%. What about volt drop for an entire install? Because electrical oven works out for you as well. It will do the volt drop. Like, actually, you need to upsize this cable because your volt drop started is already this. And yeah, it just does so much that stuff, like you said, you nailed it perfectly, mate, where for us, it's inch perfect because it holds a hand. It's not something we do every day.
Volt drop's an interesting one. It's like you sort of get caught in that rabbit trap of just doing the circuit you're in, but it's not. It's the installation volt drop that you're supposed to be working
exactly.
Out,
it was both.
Not just the circuit. You haven't got 5% of your circuit if you're 200 meters away from the supplier. You've got 5% for that whole run.
Yeah, it's exactly that. And imagine not having to worry about that. Imagine have someone working out for you. Well, it's electrical. Wait a minute. save you a job there. We'll do that.
Yeah. It can create some challenging discussions with clients and all, where you're going, well, this is compliant. And they're going, well, no one else is saying that. And you're like, I know, because they're just using rule of thumb. This is actually designed and calculated, and this is what it's saying. It's like, well, you're putting twice the size of stuff.
Yeah,
I know, but it's
something that stuck at me from college, you know, when my tutor said, you know, when you're pricing up big jobs, you get people that do the rule of thumb. And you'll get the people that will work it out. And the people that work it out will use a smaller size cable because they've done the calculations and they could get away with it and they'll win a contract. Mm. And it's true. Do you know what I mean? More often than not, I've done the towels. What size towels do you think? 400 amp three phase.
I should know this. I would go for 185 dual feeder.
Yeah. Mark?
I'd be about that, I think. Sounds about right.
Would it shock you that Electrical OM said 120 mil?
What, singles?
Singles.
I don't think that's right.
Would it shock you? That's what I thought. And I went on to ELAND.
Neil's opening it now.
Yeah.
Now
listen, I've already got it open.
I went on to the ELAND website. They said 95 mil for the type of cable I'm sticking in.
I'm not having that at all.
What can I do, mate? Manufacturer's guidance.
Well, I don't want to snag your work online while we're recording, so.
No, snag away, mate. I ain't installed it yet. Let me know now if I fucked up.
I agree with the software.
Either you fucked up or I fucked up on a job. One of us is.
It's a supported tool, isn't it? It really is, because like a lot of smaller domestic contractors or jobbing contractors, time is a precious thing where they're like all rushing around trying to make a living, getting quotes out, and often the design stuff is the thing that gets dropped and it's just default to rule of thumb. So if you've got something like Electrical OM, which is super fast, really easy to use, makes a lot of sense, doesn't it, I think?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's the same conversation we had just earlier, Mark, on the phone, you know. In fact, I'll let Neil come back with this one because straight away, I'm with you, 185.
What size, what sort of cable?
It's 661, I think it's 6191B.
Just give us it in a normal word.
It's
armored singles.
Singles. It's singles. I reckon it's tri-rated singles, but tau. You know what I mean? It's of tau quality. That's a really technical word, Mark. You like that? It's of a tau quality. As in, it's double insulated.
Right. Well, on here, it's telling me 400 mil. I would use a parallel conductor and I'd change it down to 150 is saying on here. I can get away with 150.
So that's what I was thinking earlier, 150. But when I went on the ELAND website and it said 95, I'm sticking with, maybe I will go 150. But it says 120. 120 mil is what I'm advised. So
tri-rated might be a little bit, might hold a little bit less, I think. But be careful using tri-rated because some DNOs don't connect it to their equipment.
Yeah, well, this is the trouble. I mean,
and UKPN is one of them because
in terms of whether it's you know 120 or 150 is a you know it's probably a minimal conversation compared to the problems I'm going to have when they turn up.
So tri rated, I'm getting down to 150 on tri rated.
You just said 150 on the last one.
Oh, okay. Well, on parallel feeders get down to 70 mil parallels, 270 mils.
It's crazy, isn't it? But so regardless of whether 120 mil is right or wrong in this instance, it proves the point of I've looked for the cable I'm using. The ELAN website said I could get away with 95 mil. Electric LOM said 120 mil. We both said we probably straight away we would have went for 185. You've just got it down to 70 mil now.
So it's just two times 70 mil, remember?
Oh, right, yeah. Fair. But even so, it just goes to show that with our limited knowledge around this stuff, which it is, you know, compared to someone that does this day in day, because this is a full-time job for someone working this stuff out. We've gone from a dual feed 70 mil up to 185 mil. So there we go. It's it just goes to show.
Have you tried the Arc Flash add-on with it yet?
I've not, no, because it blows me away, Mark. If I'm honest to you, I'm not that far into it to start going down the Arc Flash. I need to learn. Yeah. Electrical OEM a lot better before I start looking at Arc Flash, and I need to understand Arc Flash, which is, you know, I think the problem with my job at the moment is because I'm everything, I spend more time, I'm probably 10% an electrician there and 90% everything else, operations manager, salesperson, keeping everyone happy, making sure invoices are done, you know, running the division as opposed to actually doing the electrical part of it. I'm trying to stay true to my roots a little bit, although, you know,
it's my roots. Look.
Yeah, I know. I love it. Yeah. It's little bit to the left. There you go.
That was really hard.
Yeah.
I'm trying to work out how to do that. It was really hard.
It's that dodgy.
The audio listeners, I'm trying to point to a twin earth that's coming down my ceiling, but when we
there's definitely,
around,
there's definitely more than face. One.
There's more now. So after week before when I was counting, there's something missing.
Yeah, there's something missing, about 30 cables by the looks of it. Yeah,
1, 2, 3, 4. This is just for this office, this is.
Imagine that, just wanting to light up your trophies that much. It's crazy, isn't it?
They're go-karting trophies. We run them on charity events.
There we go. That ends that conversation. Let's talk about the next one, which was, do you bond tray?
This is a good one. This is has been done a few times, isn't it? So
has it? Who's done it? Who's done it?
I'll let Mark go on this one. Go on, Mark. You make a practice of them.
Hand over the baton of stupidity.
Yeah, go
to
on.
Me.
Put your head on the box.
I like it. Guidance note 8, isn't it? It depends if it's extraneous or exposed, so earthing or bonding. People often get the two things muddled up. Or mixed up, but I guess with your airfin, we're talking about if there's a fault in the system, we can rapidly operate an overcurrent protected device. Now, bonding, we're trying to keep the touch voltages at a similar kind of level. So I'd say with tray, if you were thinking about airfin, where it might come in is if you've got some pyro or mineral insulated cable laid on it or something, could then it become an exposed part? I don't think so, because the mineral insulated cable would already have an earth connection anyway, wouldn't it? So it'd still be okay to be not bonded. And then if it's in terms of bonding, it depends if it's gone outside and some of the mounts are maybe in the ground and then come back inside.
Someone's done a little bit of research, I feel, since what I found coming earlier. It's almost like you're reading the blog
process, don't it?
Yeah. You're absolutely right. You probably already knew this, Mark. But I didn't. So I was looking, because naturally I would bond tray. I would just bond it because it just seems right. But actually, I think you don't in this instance. So it's not connected to any containment anywhere else. So it's you know, in free air, shall we say, it's not connected to the insulation in any way, shape or form, except from the cables that are sitting on it. Cables I've discovered are classed as type 2, unless it's MIMS. You're looking at me now. In terms of cable sitting on a tray, that is like classing a class 2 piece of equipment, as in it's double insulated. It's not double insulated, but that is for the purpose of this, what we're talking about. That is what it's classed as, according to the regulations. MIMS cable, they actually say it's more detrimental to bond it, because as you say, Mark, it's already got an earth path. So actually, you could potentially bring fault current where it wasn't already, which is a massive conversation now, isn't it? That if that goes to fault, it's going to go down the MIMS cable, go to its natural earth that's already created through that cable. But obviously, if you then bond the tray, well, where's it going to go now? Is it going to go back up the tray and on? And the last one is it's a big factory. It's not going through any walls, you know, it's not going outside. It's all within, so it's not picking up a separate earth from outside or anything. So I think actually, which sounds crazy, it's safer not to earth it.
I've got, you know, with this one for me, there's, and this can be, this can happen in a lot of debates about should you or would you, it's, does it need bonding or earthing? Would you bond it and earth it? Two different questions.
Mm. I've got two different answers for that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So yeah. Would I code it on the ICR? No. Because I feel like there's other issues. If it needed earthing, let's go to the earthing. But if that train needed earthing, that the only way that would need earthing is if the incorrect cable was installed onto it. So singles. If singles were used, it would need earthing.
Yeah, different.
So that would,
different
you would conversation. You would code something else. You'd say, well, the inappropriate cable's not being used, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so if the correct cables for the my dog is literally trying to punch his way into this room. If the correct, I'm going to let him in. Wait there.
Been rudely interrupted by Neil's dog.
That's a lovely, lovely award behind your head there. I see, Mark. That lovely EFIX award.
Hang on, I finished my earth and a bonding talk.
If EFIX are listening, I'm still waiting for my two. Just patiently by the door every day, waiting for this trophy to come through and smash on the floor, and it hasn't as of yet.
Finished.
Bought a trophy cabinet for that as well.
We can't see it. You could have 15 of them. We'll be
about to see it's at work, mate. It's at work. I say I bought a trophy cabinet. I never. The director of the company bought a trophy cabinet and put my trophies in there. So I've got me two electrician of the year. Brilliant. You know, well, won both of them. I weren't even on the tools. Just goes to show, didn't it? Tradesman of the year. I am a hero. Apparently.
Well, I'll just, the elephant in the room is that Mark is actually a worst person than he was last year, because last year he was person of the year. This year he didn't even make second. You know what I mean? He's taken the ride downhill.
Gone from the top to the bottom in 1 year.
That's the problem is, Ward, you win it once, win it, don't win it next year. You're a crapper, isn't you? Basically, you're just a crapper.
That's it. You're only going one way after you've won something. Now, Rick will be able to start selling tours with all the trophies he's got, like these sports teams. You can go and tour the trophy room. We can go and tour Rick's electrical.
Oh, you said tour? Yes. I thought you said toe. Two?
Yeah.
No, but what's so bad about the earth and bond? It's like, so I wouldn't earth it. Would I bond it? Again, wouldn't bond it either. It's not needed, but I'd all... And again, it also goes back to client specifications. Some client specifications would want to see it done, so that way you'd follow that, because you'd have that information at your tender stage, so you'd do that. So it's a comparable.
This brings me neatly onto another question, Mark. What's your take on it? And then I'll question after, and I think you both know what's coming.
I thought you already answered.
No, Mark. But no, Mark was good. Yeah, yeah. Two answers.
Oh, hang on. I'll finish my answer then. So my answer: I wouldn't code it if everything else was okay, but I would install.
Well, so from an install point of view, you would install bonding.
I would, yeah.
Okay, Mark?
Pretty much the same, because we all see how cables get roughed in out on site, don't we, to be totally brutal. How many LSF or twin and Fs have you seen on tray that's got snags and nicks in it because someone drived it in a bit too aggressively? And to cover off against that, I would say it's good, sensible practice to do it. But to the regs, as long as you've got over 22 kilo ohms, I think at 10 milliamps, some designers will accept 30 milliamps. In that case, I think it's around 6-7 kilo ohms, which you would need before you had to leave the bond off.
Okay. What size earth cable are you using?
That's the other one, isn't it?
So, I've got 400 amp.
Well, the fact that it's not required, there's no wrong answer.
Well, is there? I don't know. Is there? This is what. So okay. So what size do you use?
Yeah, you're starting to show us up to talk about utter nonsense, aren't you?
Yeah. I think so. A man has looked at this today. Regs say not less than 4 mil for a bond, but if it's a main bond, in my case, I'd need to use a 35 mil worth.
Yeah, it would be a main bond, would it?
Yeah. Well.
Unless it's fixed.
Well, a main protective bond is in what you...
It's through the structural steel main bond, so...
Well, we don't know, because we're going out of... We don't need to bond it at all. So what is it classed as then? So technically, we don't need to bond it because it's not extraneous and it's non-conductive and all of that stuff. But we say we are going to bond it, so what are we treating it as then?
Yeah, I'm not bonding it from now on, because that's too hard.
Just stick the 10 mil on it, mate, and I've done with it. That'll be
yeah,
right.
10 mil after that, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's nonsense to bond it, isn't it? It is utter nonsense to bond it. It makes no sense at all.
It's a rabbit hole question, isn't it? No, I think it does make perfect sense to bond it. I don't think we're incorrect.
Well, what size you put in, Rick?
Well, that's the problem. And this is where the IET book falls down a bit, because it don't talk common sense.
Does the book say put it in?
No. The book says don't put it in. Which I think is...
It's CN8, is it? Guidance 8?
This is just 7671 I looked at. I didn't go to guidance notes, to be fair. Right. But the point being, it's another one of them areas where, it will change. Next edition, it will change. Next edition, it will be you have to install 10 mil on everything. Mm. And then 20th edition, it'll be don't install anything. Fuck earths. Don't need earths. No earths at all.
Have an isolating transformer. No supply. No danger to anyone. Go down to 12 fault system.
I'm tempted to ring up Le Grand and was it Le Grand who done the trade or whatever it is, and just get manufacturer's guidance, mate, because that seems to be the fucking get out clause for everything else, didn't it? Well, the manufacturer told me to stick 100 mil earth on it, you know. So,
but it's another amazing, interesting the one. Same people that say, and this is a common thing, the same people that say, right, look at manufacturer's guidance, will say the opposite when it suits them. Well, it's only guidance.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know what I mean? And then they'll say, well, you haven't installed it to manufacturer's instructions.
Yeah.
But manufacturer's done it makes sense. Oh, yeah, but it's only guidance. You've got to use your own own engineering knowledge. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you just always, you just flip-flop. It depends on whatever suits you.
The thing is, you must have had this, Neil, maybe in one of your specs. I've certainly had it in loads of jobs in London, where if you install loads of tray, you have to install them little wire connectors between the two bits of tray.
Yeah, that's on the railway standard, that is. That's on the
totally point. So
absolutely. So
regs are telling us not to earth tray. And then someone else is going, you must have them little tabs just so we know it's earth. Don't matter, it's all fucking metal. Don't.
It's all bolted together. No, bolts per bling joint.
We must have these little joints, but don't bond it. For fuck's sake, don't earth it.
That sort of triggers me a little bit. We have to install it because it just... It's not required. Why have you installed them? It's not required, but it says so in this rail standard. Oh.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's
same on trunking, isn't it? On inside. In fact, you put it on the outside of trunking so they can see that you've done it.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fucking mental.
It is absolutely mental. And it's frustrating because you get people that have got a little bit of knowledge but get caught up on something that they think they've really got.
Yeah.
They know that part.
And then we wonder why we're confused. Why is there such confusion? It's so simple. Well,
do you ever install flange couplers?
Yes.
Yeah, they're standard on the railway, but we never installed them for years, not realising it. And all of a sudden, someone found it, and it was like, that was their plaything. It was like, oh, my God, all you talk about is flange couplers. Shut up.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's his job for the next 20 years, that he would justify. Oh. He would justify his entire job just by doing, just like the same geezer that goes around, and every time you put a bit of conduit, you do a set. Have you sprayed it? Have you painted it with a galv paint? Have you done, is it perfectly straight lines? You've got a mask and tape it off. I've got to be able to see it. Mate, really? Mate, especially when you go on to, you know, like, so my local railway stations, both lines are shocking. Like, you go into it, they've got really bad install, and you see that bit of containment with that bit of paint on it, you're thinking, look around. We won't go into that because I don't want to give no fame where fame is not due, sir. So I won't go into to what lines it is and all that. Yes. Once upon a time, I was. Shocking. Yeah. But I will say they've got lovely bridges with lovely little lights in the handrails and stuff. Never mind what's supplying that. It's fucking dog rough. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can literally walk into the ticket office and see C2s as you look it up. What the fuck? But hey, that conduit, best bit of conduit I've ever seen, Neil. Must have been the one you done. See you next week, boys.
I could say so much, but I will not.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same. You don't want to give no one any more publicity than they already create themselves through arguing like a bit of a prick. See you next week. You going Friday, Neil?
I'm looking at that, actually.
We made an agreement. Mark's there both days. Is where we
I'll be there God
one day and TIS the next. I'm going to say that they have a massive supporters of Apprentice one-to-one off the top of my head.
No, I've got a meeting Friday now. No, it's not. It's this Friday. Don't ignore. No, I'm free. Yep.
Hey, that's it. The old gang's back.
Yeah, I'll be there. I'm going to make the effort to go there. Where is that? Birmingham, isn't it?
Birmingham, mate. Yeah.
NEC?
Yeah, I'll be there. It's only an hour and a half for me, so that's not too bad. And then I'm up to what's it, EFIX, I think, the weekend after. Week after.
Are you going up to EFIX?
Yeah, I've been invited up finally. Might get me a trophy for a commercial industrial installer of the decade.
Can you collect my footage while you're there, mate?
Are you going to do the challenge wall?
I'm going to do that challenge wall. And I'll be honest with you, right? I'm going to say this, and I don't care. Some of the times on that ball are outrageous for a human being. How can it take some people 4 or 5 minutes, some of them 7, to wire a socket a meter away from a consumer unit? Sorry, absolutely.
You've condemned yourself to failure.
No, I'm sorry. It cannot be like, I reckon my son who's never done one before could do it quicker than 4 minutes. 4 minutes is nothing. Like, I reckon I could get that done under 2 minutes.
No, never. Well,
what's the quickest time? I don't know.
It's a minute.
It's around 2 minutes. Just over.
And they've got under 2, haven't they? I thought they had sub 2 minutes. But whatever the case, you've got to use their tools for a start. That adds a minute.
Well, do you know what I was thinking of doing for an absolute laugh? I was thinking about taking my team up there, like being, because I'm the manager now, is that when it starts, go, and they'll run in and do it for me. I'll take all the music, like, yes, that's weird, brilliant. First one, best one ever.
They were falling over each other, fucking cables.
Having arguments.
Bald falls over, you know.
But the thing is, I'm a terrible winner. I'm a very good loser, but I'm a terrible winner. If I do win, my God, I'm going to be unbearable. Unbearable.
Yeah, finish.
I think I was
win.
4 minutes and 5 seconds on mine.
I'll
but I did,
leave a four. I did it live. 4 minutes.
Did it live? Come on.
What, you changed it? What about electricity at work regulations?
Live and you was that slow.
Exactly. Live on the air and live powered. It's the only way.
I can't imagine taking 4 minutes. What happened?
No, it just takes that long, mate. If you're going to do a job, do it properly.
No, but I do it properly. It's the fastest time.
I can't remember you having any problem, Mark, either. It was pretty quick. I remember watching you.
It didn't feel like it took 4 minutes while I was doing it. I think that's one of the perceptions we get wrong when we're working. You imagine you're doing stuff faster than you actually are.
It's one socket, isn't it?
It's one socket. Straight up a bit of conduit, round
into an MCB.
And then around into the board.
And you've got to take the board cover off.
No, it's all open. You got to take the socket front off. You got to take that off. Keep your screws to one side.
That could be.
That is a dickhead. That's a bit of time there, isn't it? Taking not losing the screws. That probably takes 10 seconds just putting the screws down so you don't lose them after.
Especially when I've got Gaz to grind though, the end of the screwdriver down.
4 minutes. Did you?
No, I will do for Neil. We'll get him to grind the screwdriver halfway down. So it's a bit too fat for them screws.
Yeah. Like a fucking 20 pence piece.
I might bring my own tools.
You can't use your own tools. That's the killer. Side cutters, not shears. You've got to use side cutters for a start. I haven't used side cutters for 10 years.
But listen, no one's checking the quality of the work and getting tested. So listen, if there's one strand hanging out,
they give you a little stag at the end. Give a yank on the cables.
It's got to be connected. It doesn't matter if it's the dog's dinner, the way it's connected, it's just got to be in.
It can't be 4 minutes.
To be fair, the only thing you've got to be.
You must have done a full set of testing schedule after, and this is just difficult in 4 minutes.
Yeah, it was on electrical hour and everything, got a laptop out. So the time to beat was Sam's time, which was 6 minutes 20, I believe.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
But to be fair, it was outside and it was freezing. And I'm not doing it. I don't believe in the wall. I think it promotes.
I don't believe in rushing.
We should be encouraging quality and not speed and all that nonsense.
I literally gave all the old shit spill.
Sorry, Mr. Ethical over there.
It was cold.
Degrading our industry. Yeah,
that was me. That was me. Yeah, absolutely. And I'd say the same again because I'd be nervous. I'll be so
nervous. You can't be more nervous than Mark. He's got 4 minutes and 5 seconds to connect a double socket up.
Live on EFIX Live. Come on. We're going to get you doing it live. I reckon you'll have about 10 ticks. You'll probably be slipping Gordon £50 notes to let have another go at it.
Yeah, I forgot to start it. Neil got 0 seconds. Wow. It's amazing.
I honestly reckon if I reckon on a good day, you could do it a minute and a half.
A minute and a half.
I reckon if you really practice, I reckon you can get down to a minute and a half.
But you don't practice, do you? You get a practice, and then
no,
you
I know.
But
I'm saying if you could like if I set up one at home, right, to get doing it, I reckon you could do it. But you'd have to practice. I mean, it is literally what
10 half a meter hours, of conduit,
and the trunking lid's not even on, is it? The trunking lid's not even on.
No,
It's that pace of 4 minutes. It's outrage. If it takes me 4 minutes to do that, I am not even staying. I'm going home. I'm going home. Take my tools home and think.
mate, you're gonna. I don't know what you're gonna
set yourself up here. Big
I reckon you'll get 3 minutes here. I reckon you're on a 3 minute one. I reckon that's what I reckon. I'd get it in 3 minutes.
Honestly, in 3 minutes. I reckon I could probably do it quicker than 4 minutes blindfolded. Well, this is such a long time.
You've put enough challenges I could probably, out so far.
I reckon I could do a breakfast. I reckon I could do a full English breakfast in under 4 minutes.
To be fair, Mark took his glasses off. it was like, you know, when you watch Bottom and Richard takes out his glass off, pokes him in the eyes. His hair got in his eyes, you know, the sweeping new haircut, like it come down into his eyes.
I think the guy who's done it in 2 minutes, he's had a couple of goes at it, and he was fast, like moving fast. So you've got your work cut out, Neil. It's not as easy as it looks. You're going to find out.
It's a double socket. Like, if that's not as easy as it looks, connecting a double socket, then what the hell?
We'll see, won't we? We'll see. I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait.
If I don't do it in under 4 minutes, it's going to be sabotaged.
I mean, listen, if I had done it in under 4 minutes, it's prophetic, mate. Do you know what I mean? It's you know. I think Mark doubled cables over at all sorts.
I like how you picked 4 minutes out just for this segment. You didn't go for 6 minutes, 8 minutes. It was 4 minutes because you knew.
He had you targeted, didn't he? He had you like hook, line, and sinker. Like, that's it, mate. You're fucked.
4 minutes is like a lifetime, though, isn't it? Okay, you must have had a lunch break in between.
It's like talking to Matthew because as soon as he saw that, he was giving it exactly the same. So he's going to go and honest, a try.
Mate, I reckon you can eat a lunch in 4 minutes, Neil. Easy. Like, you know, that could be done in 4 minutes.
Easy. 4 minutes is such a long time, honestly. It's just like...
We'll see, won't we? We'll see. I look forward to it. I will say nothing because no doubt I will one day do the E-Fix wall and I will get a shocking time.
It would be amazing if Neil's the first person ever not
president.
To
you almost called me the president, didn't you? You just almost called me the president.
Just to not finish. Just first to get person ever disqualified.
Not to finish because he storms off because his stopwatch has gone past 6 minutes.
Yeah. I know what will happen.
Your live show started and I'm still on the wall.
You have to start and stop the timer yourself, didn't you?
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
you do.
So you had to start and stop the timer and you had to reach up above the board. Neil's going to reach up, pull something. Be like when he went down in the deck. I can't get it. Ah, my back's gone. And that's it. You'll be 20 minutes, mate. 20 minutes home.
it's a right old journey for me, you know. It's gonna be I'm gonna get out like 2 in the morning, 2-3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, here come the excuses. Oh, it's a long journey. Oh, my back was hurting.
No, I'm gonna go. I'm very humbled to be invited. So I'm definitely gonna go. Without a doubt, because I think you get invited to these things, I think it's manners, but so I will be definitely going. But yeah, it's a bit of a mission for me. Yeah.
Everything is in it. I honestly thought living so close to London, everything would be near me, but it's nothing is. Everything's Birmingham. Every award I've won's been fucking Birmingham. You know, the Electrician of the Year 2019, Fix Radio, that one, yeah, that was Birmingham.
Did you win that? You never mentioned it.
Yeah, I won that one. Yeah. Clive Holland presented that one. Yeah, and
what,
then, you know.
What was the first one you won?
That was, Fix Radio. Oh, yeah, man. Electrician of the Year 2019.
Think about how it's all changed, though, in terms of that first year when he's turned up and sort of seeing Bundy and Savo there and you're not really sure. Then it's just like, it's such a weird, such different now looking back in it and thinking how green everyone was back then.
I didn't know who it was. No, you know, so James Beck, who came in second. And took it like a true champion. Like, it was brilliant. And yeah, David Savo, Nick Bundy, never heard of him.
Mm.
You know, speaking of which, did you see older... Dave Osavo, old Anaconda Cock, to those that know him. Do you not remember that? No, I'm afraid that back from the EGT days, AC, Anaconda Cock, anyway. Mm. I'll put it back. did you see that video of him with the woman? I watched all of that from start to finish.
No way. No disrespect, Dave. There's no way I'm watching 2 hours.
I promise you. It was
straight through to when she started losing her shit.
It was mental. We see the police turn up, starts losing her shit again. And it's, what the fuck?
She got nicked, didn't she?
but all of the... Mate, the best bit was all the correspondence, all the emails. And she finished everything with... what did she finish it with? like kind, it weren't kind regards, it was something else, but it was almost what allowed us shit, call you a cunt and then go, but kind regards. So like you're sophisticated now.
Oh, so
it was like talking to an internet scammer. That's how the correspondence was coming back.
He got sorted on that one, didn't he? You got hit by it or something. Yeah,
and fair play. Do you know what? It was funny because you see, and I felt every part of Dave's pain when. So she's assaulted him. He's defended himself and put her on the floor safely and kept her there for her own safety, all fine. And then they've ended up coming out of the house. And the natural thing is to walk away, leave her alone, blah, blah, blah. But Dave's on my fucking tools are in there. No, and he's trying to get back in. And you can see, I feel terrible now because what's Dave's partner in crime's name?
Nigel.
Thank you, Nigel, of course. I remembered it just as you said it then. It's saying, come away. I've got the police on the phone. Come away.
Yeah, he was so calm for that, really.
Yeah, Nigel was amazing. Nigel was brilliant, but I felt every part of Dave's frustration. I wanted to punch her in the face and go get my tools. It must be livelihood. You know, you've kicked her. I can't go to my next job now. All these years of paying. It's like get your van stolen, innit? I'm putting up with you because you've put, like you said, she put something down abroad, isn't she? Like a fucking USB stick or whatever it was. And it's worth fuck all, but it's the principle.
Yeah,
no. Why? Right. Don't do that. Give it back to me. Do you know? It's, and I'm working in social housing, which a lot of the comments were. I've been there. I've done that. You know what I mean? I've had horrible things said. Really threatened with violence, threatened with weapons. I mean, I've had jobs when every time I turned me back to walk out, someone would walk up behind me, then I'd turn around and they'd fuck off back in their ass. Do you know what I mean? I
used to have do not tend alone jobs. Remember them, Rick?
Absolutely.
Jobs that do not tend alone. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, what the trouble is, I never seem to get relayed properly, that two to attend.
No, but the thing is, you used to do this and I was like £15 an hour. I mean,
it's insane.
And taking the piss out of as well, like not even treated well, like, you know what I mean? It's just like, I look back at it now, I think every electrician has to go on that journey of finding themselves, that they really, and find what your worth is, and you work up towards that worth, didn't you? But I look back at it now, and I see people in social housing, like, and some people talk about it like it's some sort of golden egg and gold, like, should be so happy. I just know from history it's not a pleasant place to work.
Listen,
it's
social housing. I remember seeing
dogs with their throats cut and everything in the staircases. It's just horrendous.
Let's call needles, social housing exactly what it is. It's a place to fucking go and die. It's a retirement gig. Anyone that says it's amazing are lazy because it's lazy. But I was having this conversation the other day. You know, you're going, the most common problem was kitchen light, bathroom light. LED lighting closed and they'd stop working. They'd flicker, be like a disco ball. I would tie myself. It took me 90 seconds to go in, steps up, take it down, take the guts, put it back in, done. 90 seconds, you know, because I was that fucking
quicker than Mark does a double socket.
Yeah.
You haven't mentioned this on this podcast, Neil. Did I do the E-Fix challenge?
it talks a big game for someone who's never done it. But yeah, it's like I say, social housing exactly that. It's somewhere to go and just do your last fucking 5 years on the tools, because ultimately you never really managed to become a manager. You never managed to take the natural step. Because everyone says, I wanted to stay on the tools. No one wants to be in the tools in their 50s, do they? Let's be honest, your knees are gone, your back's gone. I love it. I'd be working social housing, so you know.
Yeah, I wouldn't say, I mean, I'm doing a rewind now and it's like the reality of domestic work, it's not taxing. It's not like brain taxing. It's not difficult, like in terms of regulations. You can sort of remember most of the regulations off the top of your head. You know what I mean? There's sometimes I have to go back and, because I don't do domestic, like touch up on the bathroom regulations or whatever it may be that changed again. But it's like, it's not mentally taxing, but oh my God, running around in lofts on joists at 41 years old, 20 stone, is just hard.
It's not the way to live. I hate it, mate. If I go on the tools, I don't mind. I'll go and wire up a switch panel, no problem, like that. You know, as long as it's three phase at my waist height, so I don't have to kneel down or any of that. Just stand up, back straight, do that. Happy days. Don't mind doing a bit of testing.
Mark loves a low level socket.
don't mind a bit of testing.
I'm messaging guys right now, getting that socket foot lower.
He don't like standing up either. He loves him low level sockets.
You're gonna, you finish. You're setting yourself up just to foul, didn't you?
Yeah, I know.
Just to foul.
But it's like little things. I'll say one challenge, it'll be on the floor.
Yeah, it's like things like with the. I was doing it last night. I was pulling some cables. I'm coming to the end of the wiring now. So what I say is like the wires are in their positions, but they've got to be dressed in and pushed up in the oval conduit and that sort of stuff. Box, whatever, but they're in their areas, right? But it's like that little thing. Like, first of all, how do you even comply with building regulations and drilling holes and joists? Especially on the ceiling, the ground floor ceiling, first floor floor. You're flying blind, aren't you? You just got to try and use a bit of. Just hopefully, I ain't gonna do mine. You literally don't know what you're doing, and you're not taking up all the floor walls to have a look. Who's gonna do that? It's just ludicrous, right?
Yeah, it's the reality. Yeah,
and then also you're pulling the cables further, and then you get the first one's the best one, isn't it? Brand new set of holes, straight away through. And then you start getting right quite packed out now. And you're like, one joist at a time because you don't want to burn the cables. And you're getting out, you're dripping. I've got to do the main route through here. And what you're doing, this, and you're trying to get it through. And then for some reason, it magically just gets stuck. Like you think, what? How have you just got stuck in this one little hole? And then you're bashing your elbow, knocking your knuckles.
So someone that's going to get fucking sub 2 minute on an e-fix board can't drill the correct size hole with a fucking joist. No, so he ends up burning his cables.
No, you've already drilled the correct size hole, but now you're putting now you're trying to put too many because you don't want to drill another set of holes.
Oh, so I was correct. So you're trying to put too many cables.
Mark, you know what I mean?
So holes too
small. We've all done that.
I don't want to drill another set of holes. I'm going to squeeze another one in. But then you have to go slow because you don't want to burn it. So you're doing one hole at a time, quarter of a meter at a time. By the time you've got down in, you go, I might as well just fucking drill the holes. You know what I mean? It would have been done half the time. And then you realise, oh, I've got another cable. Now I definitely need to drill another set of holes. Cable in the next hole.
This conversation has got a lot more basic from the start to the end, isn't it? Definitely. We're talking about bonding trays, and now we're just talking about drilling a white size fucking hole.
But right behind here, right, there's up here is the route through to where my consumer unit's going to be. So this is house. This is the outside wall. Consumer unit's going in the garage through there, right? Audio listeners, you're going to have to watch. Tough. And up in that room is where the cylinder is, like the old copper cylinder. They've got the old polystyrene expanding foam insulation stuff on it. And I've got to try every time I've got to get a cable through there, I'm literally on my belly, and there's a joist 3 inches from the wall. So I'm pulling through but I'm not doing it here. I'm like this, full out, dripping, like trying to, and then like the first one's a nightmare, but it's hard. You try doing that to the 15th one, you know what I mean, when it's full up, and I'm pulling through and I'm literally arguing with bits of twin earth, going, why won't you go? And I've got to pull 8 meters through. I've got to pull 8 meters through this to then pull it through another hole to go through because it's 8 meters the other side.
It's like stripping cable with a shit amount of chalk in it, and it just don't strip. And you have to do like a fucking inch at a time.
That's another inch at a time.
FP's bad if it hasn't got it.
Well, you've done that NSF job, didn't you, Mark? And I was just looking at it going, because we deal with it all the time. NSF twin earth is horrendous. It's like working with something that was made 50 years ago. You know what I mean? It's like I've just bought out this cable. I've been sitting in my garage 50 years. It's just horrible.
Don't look around, do the nice one. It looks like coax cable. That's it. So when you strip it, it's a lot thinner where the earth is.
You might want to go back to that job, Rick.
Yeah, it's
been using cat.
I wanted to ask on the podcast actually. Why was that in NSF? Is it because is it flats or something? Did you have some left in the carriage?
Yeah, no, amongst that, it's going to be a holiday let in the end. And while they didn't necessarily have to do it in LSF for that, they wanted to, so they're quite aware of the issue of firefighters and smoke and people coming in there and stuff. So it was a client choice.
Awesome.
And I was really, really pleased they went down that road, obviously. Not.
Yeah, it's horrendous stuff, isn't it? It is horrendous.
I will say it's nicer to draw in through holes than normal twin and air. It's a bit more slippery with its outer insulation.
Yeah, it's a bit more plasticky, isn't it? Yeah,
it goes through nicer. But once you're starting to try and strip it, yeah, it's a pain in the backside. There doesn't seem to be any of the chalk inside it either. So when you're trying to strip it apart, it's not nice to slide the outer sheath off.
It's horrible, mate, when it gets like that. Mm. I'm trying to find who done this cable. I'm sure it was fucking the grad. Easy. Oh, I don't know. I'll have to find it. When there's some evidence, I'll take a picture for you. Anyway, there we go. It's probably cost like £100 more of a drum or something, so it's not worth it anyway. Yeah. That's why it's not really known about. What else is going on, boys?
Apart from the house rewind, mate, which is causing me no end of grief. Not that it's not, it's relaxed a bit, but I'm just trying to future-proof everything. And it's so difficult to really think about when you start going down the rabbit hole of doing things really, really, really properly. I mean, I'll put in, how much do you reckon now for a fully compliant consumer unit? I spoke about this last week, but
how many ways?
It's a 37-way consumer unit, but I'm going to have like 17-way spares because it's the next size up. Because you start going to dual row.
Well, double stacking.
Yeah, so it's about, I can tell you exactly how many ways it is. It's going to be about 20, 24, 23 ways, usable ways.
So, you've got a double stack 24-way board, you know, it's for layman's terms. 500 quid?
About 6-7 AFDDs in that.
Oh, AFDDs too?
SPD, yeah.
Well, you could get a fuse box, double stack, SPD board, relatively cheap. They do AFDDs, but I've never installed one. I think about, I don't know, AFDD, £100 a pop still?
Yeah, a
bit roughly more speaking.
That. Yeah. Like,
and you've got nine of them?
£2,000.
Well, yeah, but if you're sticking AFDDs in, you're a fucking lunatic, aren't you?
Yeah, but I'm trying to... It's true.
It's true, though, isn't it? Look, this is the guy that moans on fucking Twitter constantly and it keeps fucking nuisance tripping. And you're sticking more in.
You're
insane. What are you gaining from it? What are you gaining from sticking AFDDs in?
I'm trying to do a thing, and I said this last week, I'm fully aware I'm over-engineering it, fully aware, right? But I'm trying to do a model where I go, if, not money was no object, but if you really looked at the regulations and went, this is, I think, I'm covered all bases, zero risk. That's what I'm trying to do. And
what type RCDs are sticking in?
Mixture between C, RCD, RCB would all be type A.
But that's wrong.
And a type B up front.
So, okay.
CT system.
So you're sticking AFD. We had this conversation, Mark, didn't we? I think it was on the telephone where we were talking about, or maybe it was reviewed telephone. I can't remember. On the tele recorder, on the telephone, yes. when we're sticking about sticking AFDDs in, when actually, after time, people ain't even sticking the right fucking type RCBOs in terms of DC current and stuff, which is probably over the top anyway for your...
Type A's all right. That's what I should be installing, isn't it?
Well, did you not see the EFIX video with Joe Robinson? Done a brilliant piece on it of AFD. So it starts with, there's four types. Mark, help me out here. There's four types of RCDs, correct? There's AC, A, B, and F. And it starts with AC is the worst, and I believe F's the best for faults that it will find. Correct. So technically, you should be sticking in F everywhere because then it covers everything. We're only sticking, in layman's terms, the second best RCD out of the four. Sorry, the third best, going backwards.
Yeah,
you know, with AC being fourth, third, second, first, but we're talking about AFDDs. Well, could we be sticking B-type RCBOs like you up front? Before we get to AFDDs, should we be sticking in different types of RCBO first? Because if we're just blowing money at it anyway, because well, that's I essentially what we've done, isn't it?
Personally thinking, I think I could stick in AC in my house and be perfectly fine.
But I guarantee you don't need to stick AFDDs in. So
I disagree. I mean, white good fires are, I wouldn't say commonplace, but they are a thing. I've definitely had AFDDs trip more than RCDs.
Yeah.
In Mark, so that would tell me that they're seeing things that maybe. And also, the funny story is about that the AFDD was tripping on the dishwasher for 6 months, and then the dishwasher packed up. That's quite interesting.
That's what I believe in ghosts, Neil.
No, I think it's just, I think we live in a really hard water area. And I think the heater was probably just starting to show signs of wear and tear.
About seven times mid-cycle, the fucking thing switched off. That's why it broke down. kept losing power halfway through. I'll tell you what I'd love you to do, just for me, because you're fucking spending money on it anyway. Can you get AFDDs that you can monitor? So we can once and for all see exactly why they're tripping.
So Hagar, I don't think you can install the monitor it? Or the,
I can think only give you the data of what caused the trip. And
no, it just flashes down, but it don't mean anything.
No, they've got little storage computers in it now. They've got an app that you can talk to the Hagar ones. And
that's what I'd like to see. What caused it to trip then? Breadcrumbs in the toaster. If that's not the option, I'm not interested.
That's the description you want.
Yeah, breadcrumbs in the toaster this time.
And this is all ifs and buts. If that breadcrumbs in the toaster would have led to a fire, that's a good thing, no?
It is, But Sal's cleaning out his house though, which is the fucking problem. Yeah. Like it's you know, we need an AFDD because fucking Mrs. Smith can't, she's a dirty cunt and can't clean out a fucking toaster. Like this is the problem is. We're over engineering the problem of dirty bastards not cleaning out a toaster.
No, and I get what you're saying, but the safest way to do anything is not to do it at all. So
can you tell I've only come across AFDDs in social housing? Hence why imagine getting a call at 1 o'clock in the morning, my power was gone. Yeah, because you ain't fucking cleaned the toaster again. Third fucking time this week.
I mean, if we look at the intent of the regs rather than what we think or what we'd like to do, I should say, the regs say it should be recommended to be installed on socket circuits in my situation. So if I use my decision-making tree that I always use when recommended, right, the default is I shall install it unless I can assess the risk out. Mm-hmm. Now, I could sit there and assess the risk out probably on the upstairs. Well, I wouldn't even do that on because the amount of computer stuff in my lattice room, for example, the appliances that have been in his room. But I mean, if it was just if it's just me and Roxana and it's just normal upstairs, just normal bits and bobs that you have upstairs, then I probably could risk assess it out upstairs. I certainly would want the kitchen on. I don't think you could get, I couldn't think of anyone that could risk assess that out and say, unless they would say, well, this we're not going to have any white goods, or do you know what I mean? Or if it's under, maybe if it was under some rigorous regime of maintenance, like we're going to take them out and pat test them once a month, something like that. But then again, the cost eventually would be cheaper than just to put AFDD in. But yeah,
it's cost a consideration to leave AFDDs out. It's for SPDs.
It's perfect.
It isn't it? I was just going to say that, mate. We've just had the regs a change because of the SPD cost and replacing whole consumer units for smoke alarms. Do you think having to install AFDDs is putting up the price of a consumer unit to $2,500 in Neil's case? It's going to make people not upgrade to even having RCDs. There's loads of houses still on old fuse wire boards, like tens of thousands of in my local area. Though you see them every week, we're swapping them out still.
That's a real good thing what you said there. If Miss Miggins couldn't afford an AFDD board and was on rewirable, but could afford an RCD board, then that would be my risk assessment. I'd say, listen, she couldn't afford or he couldn't afford to do that, but we knew by doing it this way would still not meet the regs in full, but would be a lot safer install for the user.
Yeah, and I think it's... I've just lost my train of thought there. So it's not just... The upfront cost is one thing, but I'm thinking, obviously, where I've seen them installed in social housing, the cost to just get people out when a nuisance trip is insane. It's just constant call-outs with AFDDs. And like I've always said with AFDDs, the only place I'd really want to install them is on shower circuits. And you don't have to. Because it's they say it has to be, you know,
you don't have to not either.
Where they do have to be installed, yeah, in tower blocks and in care homes, it's only up to 32 amp. But the biggest risk sockets, there for me that I've seen is shower isolators. So why admit up to 40 amp? Why you said we have to have them in this, but to me, you've missed out. It's a complete misjudgment of the biggest risk in blocks, which is electric showers and social housing, in my experience. Way more than kitchens tripping. A kitchen tripping was 9 times out of 10, it was a kettle. You know, or a dish, something with an element. Yeah. But the shower isolator burning out never tripped. Never ever tripped. You just get a smell of fish.
So, funny that. You're so right. Yeah.
Why is it not installed there?
That could be sorted out by the client straight away.
It could but you know the client ain't going to. You know, you know 90% of the clients are gonna go, I don't need it after 32 amp. It's only up to 32 amp, so that's what I'm gonna do. Why have we not included 40 amp? That would be my direct question to the IET. You wrote the reg. Why have you admitted 40 amp? Is it because, I don't know. Give me a reason. Why?
It's probably, none of us here know, but I imagine maybe there's a bit tunnel vision on after Grenfell and looking at white goods and trying to close that gap, that risk out and didn't.
But we've included lighting. We've included down to, 10 amp is in it. I don't think they do 6 amp. But whatever the case, you can't be, can you? You can't be blinded by one incident of multiple failings, hundreds of failings for Grenfell, really, if you really looked into it. It was catastrophic because it weren't just one thing that went wrong. It was just one, then the next thing, then the next thing. Everything that should have stopped it, that's incorrect. That's incorrect. So, like I say, for being on the cold front, certainly within social housing at least, showers were the biggest problem. and it was always the shower isolator. Always, without shadow of a doubt, the shower isolator burns out. And it will always stick with you because there was always one surface mounted and you always had to fucking rewire the circuit. So it was a pain in the ass because there was never enough slack to just rewire the isolator.
But
so
how it was good were the days when you pulled it through, though, Rick? When you pulled it through, there was that little bit. You go,
Yeah. You're never getting it with surface trunking, are you? 10 mil with surface trunking, depressing.
It'd be the best thing ever. I remember having an entire, even like the small port calls, the light port calls, you go, please, please, please. Yes, yes. It's like, this is now 10 minutes. This is now a 10 minute job. Mark 25 minutes. This will be our 10 minute job for me to finish this. And
me granddad said to me, I've done my granddad's isolator. He had his bathroom done, and there was literally fuck all on it. There was literally no. I just terminated. He went, the other day, it was about 3 years ago. They went, the I've lost a bit of string to it. I went, well, get a fucking set of steps because I'm not changing it because there was fuck all on it in the first place. It's not coming back down again. So you fixed a bit of, get a shoelace. That's it. Leave it on. Stop turning
the shoelace is on my one here. It's got a big blue shoelace.
Yeah, whatever the case, it's not. It is, if it comes down again, it won't go back up. So
I still, we're going off topic now. I did a horrendous job of changing a kitchen tap today. That was just fun. Actually, we're not talking about that.
It's one of them jobs, taps, where you think this is going to be a piece of piss, and it never is.
Well, it's like the
never, ever is.
Yeah, actually, I've done the tap quicker than Mark done that socket. And on that note, we're going to wrap up, I think. Well, that's a good old... Anything else to add? You could join us for Rick?
Well, I think, you know, we're all at EFIX next week, so really, that's a golden CEF. Opportunity, isn't it? CEF, sorry. Of EFIX going to City? That's a good question. I don't know. I know direct rivals now. I don't know how all this works.
Yeah, I don't know, actually.
There's so many politics in this shit. Do you know what I mean?
I would probably start something else now. I think the industry's quite in a quite positive mood at the moment. I think everyone seems to be getting on. The people that were causing the divide, in my opinion, they're sort of peeled off into the distance. And
I wouldn't see it. They'll fucking block to me. I wouldn't have a clue. I don't know what's going on.
Yeah. I feel like everyone's getting off. I feel like even there's always going to be frackers. You know, I mean, you're never going to get away from that. But I feel like all the big, you know, we was talking about it last week. Right? Like, NIC want to come on the podcast, which is awesome. People start to share things, you know what I mean? And talk and feel like you got Mark working with people like NET and working with the domestic apprenticeship. Want a better phrase. I know you don't like a phrase, but there's all these positive things going on, collaboration. I think it's just. Should be celebrated. I think the industry is in a real good place. Whether we get to where we want to go is another debate, but
interesting how we got to this point.
There's more people pulling together than pulling in different directions, which 100%.
Well, play well. I'll take my hat off to you, Mark, because you know I couldn't. Oh shit! No, sorry. Fucking hell! How did your Twitter spat go, Mark? That I commented on the other day. What was it about when I said there's no way you thought this was going viral?
The Just Stop Oil one. I'm still getting notifications about that.
How many? What you on? What are you on there?
I think
how many
it got
comments
like,
and likes?
I think it's got 2,000-ish likes and near enough 120 odd comments, about 150,000 summit views.
So tell me, I've
muted it so many times and then someone else will retweet it and it'll all start again.
What was the comment?
I can't even remember. It was just mugging off Just Stop Oil for some stupid attempt at a protest they'd done.
I told you, it reminded me of that time when my first Twitter incident when I was in the union. I'm sure I've told you, Mark, but there was a picture of the actual picture was a black man being arrested. He was being held on the floor. Copper was sort of arresting him, you know. He weren't nothing more than that. He weren't like the knee on the head or anything. It was just that was the whole picture. That was it. There was no more context. The comment was, what's going on here then? And I put, this is a man resisting arrest. Mate, you fucking racist cunts. Fucking like proper went off, mate. That, and I ignored everything and it went on all weekend. Like, it was mental to the point that the original person that started sort of commenting had to weigh in and go, I think everyone needs to calm down a bit. I don't think he is. imagine getting so bad that the person that started it was like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Sort of agreed with him, but after a while he's like, hang on a minute, calm down.
I don't think it's any of them things. You know, it was
nuts, it goes off the charts sometimes.
And because I was in the union, it was all them really massive fucking far left, were just like this just up oil, just going in, mate. But this was when Twitter was that way. At least you escaped a little bit, mate, with Elon Musk, didn't you? He's got a bit of something.
I'll try and stay away from any topical debates, really.
You have to. Everyone's got an opinion like ourselves, haven't they, as they say, you know? Yeah. Everyone's got one. Everyone thinks they're right. They've done the old rugby, didn't they? I've just appalled. Done the rugby final.
Done the final, didn't they?
Yeah. Fucking donuts. Anyway, good to know that you're still alive with us, Mark, and it hasn't...
We haven't found me yet.
Yeah, well, more. It's mentally distressing, isn't it? These people talk about suicide and how depressed everyone is every 10 seconds and then fucking do that to you. Thanks.
I'd have the up if it took me 4.5 minutes to do something. Else,
it's 4.5 minutes now. Not 4 minutes and 5 seconds. 4.5 minutes.
When this live's on, I'm going to be in the comments putting in times of about 19 minutes and stuff for you.
I'm going to see Mark kicking his tools away from him. Fuck off.
I even know in my head how I'm going to do it. It's going to, obviously, bit of tape. Keep one longer than the other.
No tape. You've got to tape it.
Yeah, of course you can.
That's costing you time straight. Well, you're fucking, mate, now you're sub fucking 5 minutes now. So you're going to tape
it. It's all in the prep.
You can't
the last one little curved around to get so it doesn't get caught on the bush.
You're going
to back up. Have you ever seen people do this?
Just the fact that you're saying you're going to tape the cables, I now know you're not going to beat Mark's time. Not a fucking chance.
Easy. I might even do it blindfolded.
No, not a chance.
I reckon I could do Mark blindfolded. I reckon I could. Feeling my way through it. As long as I know the juice is off.
now that you've said that, mate, I'm going for 4 minutes and 40 seconds if you're really going to tape them cables and waste time.
So up it takes.
I don't think they even give you fucking tape, to be honest to you. So I think you're fucked anyway. But
what I would say is if it does take me longer, and it's not going to happen, but if it does in some crazy world, like maybe I lost a hot arm in a car crash on the way up or something, I'd do it one-handed. If that happened... then the podcast the week before would definitely be the last podcast I would do. Definitely not coming back.
To be honest, mate, if you get over 4 minutes, 5 seconds, I don't think you fucking deserve to do an electrical podcast.
It's a lifetime. Lifetime. I mean, like, Mark's must be charging by the hour. That's what he thought. He got confused, didn't he?
So I'm just going to say, Mark, when I listened to you on I can't remember, what's Sam's podcast? What's it called?
Electrician's podcast now, I think.
What's this one called?
Electrician's show.
Fuck, mate. I'm terrible.
You'll still be on Twitter next week doing the shows on Twitter. Just copy everything we do.
Well, whatever the case. But you was getting loads of questions coming in. Where are the questions tonight, mate? What's going on? I like the questions and there was no fucking questions.
What do you mean? The regs questions?
No. You was getting people asking you questions. People were coming in with questions off of... I don't know where you're putting the questions.
They do it live, don't they?
Oh, well, they're doing it live on YouTube.
For next time, Mark, I want you to use your expanding following base and get some questions for us because I like to answer questions.
Yeah, I like questions, to be fair. That is good.
Yeah.
So we're just copying them.
My question is, where were the questions, Sam? Mark?
We need to copy Sam and do it live on YouTube.
I mean, it'd be pointless, wouldn't it? Because we could set up a live and no fucking Neil won't turn up anyway. You know what I mean? So we'd be... and then we record about 6 and he'll delete them all. You know, it's depressing.
I don't delete anything.
I mean, wait until... You deleted the fucking... You do delete things.
I don't delete things.
You deleted all the original shows on YouTube. What's going to happen when you get a shit type? You did. Where was all the original?
Oh, sorry, then. Yeah, but they're all on podcast. They're only on YouTube. They're all still available on Spotify.
I never knew that. But what's going to happen when you get a 6 minute time on this eFix wall? You're going to fucking just throw a pram in you and delete everything. So
throw toys out of pram.
Yeah, well, that's the one. No, throw a pram. You've got toys.
It's just not going to happen. It's not even a thing that something that easy could take 4 minutes. It's not even a thing. Some people have taken over 7 minutes. Over 7 minutes. That's not like twice Mark.
Who took over 7 minutes?
I know some guys the other day took over 7 minutes. I was like, oh my God. I thought they was going to have to extend the line for one foot. Like, it's taking so long.
Must have been one of them fucking meter maids or something to wait 7 minutes. Jesus Christ.
So much content in this podcast to cut and clip together once Neil has taken longer than 7 minutes to do it now.
Oh, that would be horrendous. Imagine that. Imagine if I was that bad.
We're going to make a song. We used to watch the Ricky Gervais podcast when they took a clip of Kyle Pilkington and it was basically saying, they were talking about I'm a celebrity, but the line was, I'll rip your dick at night. And the actual conversation was, they wake up at like 8 a.m. and are eating kangaroo dicks. So I could do it at night, but yeah, they just got that line and just kept repeating it in techno tune. and every week someone sent a different song in. I'll rip your dick at night. And it would be like, brilliantly funny, but...
With me on my 4 minutes.
Yeah. 4 minutes. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, God, so bad. That is bad, though. Honestly, Mark, I'm not joking. That's terrible, mate.
When you go
mid-table 4 minutes.
When you go over 4 minutes, I want you to come in on the next podcast with like your arm in a sling. I did. I had a massive crash.
Yeah,
did broke the Tesla off.
Shoulders been doing me some jittery.
We opened the door. It was cold outside.
I died 3 times on the way up. I'm not gonna lie, you know, but I powered on. You know,
COVID 15 times last night.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I hope he fixes listening. I hope Gary and Joe fucking a pad on this, mate. You know,
it's just the thought of it taking 4 minutes. Just it's such a long time, Mark.
You'll have probably done it.
As soon as you start going to teaching, like you forget all your skills, didn't you? Gone.
You'll have probably
the last time you
can't do it. Teach it. Can't do it. Teach it.
When was the last time you was on the tools? Like properly on the tools, not rewiring your ass and fucking having to go with TNE. Yeah.
Oh Jesus. It's got to be eight, nine years.
Mate, fucking hell, mate. Like,
let's hope that memory skills are still there for you, mate.
Double socket, you can never forget it, can you? I'm just throwing tape, I'm throwing quails in now. I'm going, oh, you never forget it. It's easy. It's like riding a bike.
You'll have done it before this podcast comes out, won't you? When are you going? Next week? Week after?
It doesn't matter, mate. You're just going to take a month to get a fucking podcast out.
I won't say the date because it's their show, so I'm not going to say the date. But yeah, I don't know. It's in the foreseeable future.
Okay. Well, that was fucking boring. No, I'm sure they're not going to care if you tell the date that you're on.
Will they?
Is it in the month of June?
This podcast will be out before.
Yeah, but again, you release them, so no, we don't know. That means nothing to us. When's this podcast getting released?
What's the date today? Right,
it's the 30th.
Week, it's the week after. So it'll be the 12th, this one will be out. 12th June.
The 12th, and it's after the 12th of June. You know what we say?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I think.
Oh, so see you first, anyway, so we can fucking break some fingers and everything. Do you know what I mean?
No, we can't even injure him. That's a good point.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, this
is a real nice hot mug of coffee, Bernie's fingers.
Do you know what? This comes out so late. It's 2 days after this podcast comes out. Oh, I'm on it. So it's going to be very topical.
The 14th of June, my birthday.
Is it?
That's my birthday when you're on that. And I've got the day off because I get my birthday off. And I'm going to just sit there. Is it live as well?
Yeah. 8 o'clock. 8 o'clock or something like that.
Yes. I just can't wait.
Cancel your dinner with your family. Sit down with your birthday hat on.
Make sure you turn your phone off, mate, because I'll just be calling up. What I'm going to do, I'm going to get everyone's number there. Gordon's, Gary's, Joe's, yours. And just get everyone to constantly just call the phones. All the phones fucking...
Set the fire alarm off.
Fucking... I'm going to get them to cut the cable every half a meter. So every time you put it off, it's, oh, for fuck's sake.
Oh. Order a load of takeaways to the unit. Just non-stop takeaways turned at half 8 o'clock.
No, you'd enjoy that.
Right, we're going. See you later, everyone.
See you later.
Bye-bye.